Welcome to Voice Rising with Kara Johnstad. Enjoy weekly conversations with leading luminaries, pioneering visionaries, singers, poets, musicians, and sound healers as we explore the profound role our voice plays on the path to self-realization and global enlightenment. The internationally acclaimed singer, composer, author, healer, recording artist, voice expert, creator of Voice Your Essence, and founder of the School of Voice, Kara Johnstad, uses her extraordinary spiritual gifts to empower others. Everything in this world vibrates. Everything has a frequency. A pioneer in the field of voice work and transformational songwriting. Her breakthrough methods are helping thousands of people worldwide fine-tune their body-mind-spirit system and unlock the energetic frequencies of limitless creativity, health, and abundance. Share your voice, ask your questions, join in the conversation. Receive life-changing, positive transformation and rise together to create a sound world. And here's your host, Kara Johnstad.
Hello, everybody. A very warm welcome today. I am here in studio with the legendary master of voice, voice alchemist, and angelic emissary, Stuart Pearce. Stuart Pearce was the head of voice at the Webber Douglas Academy, London, from 1989 to 1997. He is a pioneer in the Shakespeare's Globe Theatre, working with voice and all the wonderful actors there between 1997 and 2010. And Stuart, he's in studio. He's also coached luminaries such as Eddie Redmayne, Matthew Good, Hugh Monville, Mark, I think it's Rylance, Margaret Thatcher, and of course, now in the press, we have Marianne Williamson, just to name a few. Stuart, welcome. Welcome to Voice Rising.
Well, hello there. Hello, Kara. How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. It's so exciting. I've read your books, and I know your work with voice, and that's what we're going to dive into today. I want to start the conversation in a very relaxed and easy place out of curiosity. What is one of your strongest memories of voice as a child?
Being without a voice.
Wow.
I discovered very early on that people weren't seeing what I was seeing because I was in a state of wonder seeing the multidimensional universe. So I spoke about what I was seeing and was branded stupid, idiot, and then mad. So I decided around 7, 8, I think it was, those 2 years, I shut up. I self-muted for 2 years and listened. And that's when I discovered my voice.
Well, that is absolutely fascinating. So in that place of full presence, I would say, or connected to those multi-dimensions, you know hands-on also what it means to feel wounded, not to be listened to. And also, how did you overcome that then when you came back out and started to speak more and share more? What was that turning point for you?
By making sure that I was constantly enraptured by the divine feminine, particularly in relation to my dear mother, who was a vessel of unconditional love, and of moving closer and closer and closer through the divine, to the divine rather, which at that time was embraced within the Christian faith, you know, during my early adolescence. And I discovered reverence. I knew what reverence felt like, but I discovered the word, and I discovered ritual, and I discovered litany, and I discovered the liturgy, and I discovered what it was to dedicate and devote oneself to the divine. And then I became an actor because I couldn't really do anything else. And everybody kept saying, but there's something about your voice. There's something about your voice. There's something. And I thought, wow, no, there's nothing else that's good about me. I better go towards that, which I did as an adolescent. And hey, I was good at it. So I became an actor. And that's how I really discovered the power of sound, largely again as a result of not just using sound, but of listening. I was very fortunate, you know, many great opportunities came to me early in my career in the early 70s as an actor with the Royal Shakespeare Company. So I was born into, as it were, as an actor, work with people like Judi Dench and Ian McKellen and Patrick Stewart, you know, great voices. And I listened to the way that they physiologically told stories with their voices. And shapeshifted as actors, you know, became other beings. And I was enthralled. I thought it was one of the most beautiful things that could possibly happen. But really, I discovered my voice. I discovered how to read, because as a child I couldn't read because I was synesthetic. In other words, I had this crossover of the senses. I mean, we didn't know about that then. I mean,
right.
We didn't know about dyslexia then. I mean, this was the post-war, post-Second World War. But I discovered sound through reading by singing. My mother had the ingenuity to put me into a church choir, and I copied the other boys. You know, I guess we looked rather pretty, you know, in surplices and little ruffs around the neck, you know, like little choristers. But I just copied the other boys, and I realized that the book that I held in front of me studiously, because this is what you were told to do, I realized that the notes were a landscape. And that the words, with their own duration, as you know, with their own permeability, and
right.
their own tonal points, and the words were underneath. So I actually started reading singing, and then I was able to read speaking.
Right, right.
So so the discovery was quite an interesting one. Mm-hmm.
Fascinating. You work a lot with voices, with great voices. You also talk a lot about finding your signature note, your signature tone. Mm. How are we able to find our signature tone? Do we each carry a specific tone or frequency that makes us feel whole and connected to the divine?
Yeah, isn't it amazing? We each have a note. So there are, what, 7.5 billion people living on this planet at the moment, and we each have our own individual sound. Except, of course, we know that the way that we're educated and socialized and conditioned, we're herded together. And the contemporary linguistic or the contemporary currency of sound today, of course, in most people's voices is here. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
yeah, I do.
And it's like, oh, my God, what is going on here? But, you know, that's not somebody in their note. That's somebody who's stuck in their head because of the noise of having just sound over the noise, or because
right.
there's too much electrical activity going on within the corpus callosum, you know, so they can't think clearly, and they're just running away from what they're really feeling. But as soon as we find our note, we drop into our bodies, and automatically, if words arise from the heart, they enter the heart. If words arise from the tongue alone, they don't pass beyond the ears. So we have a way in to the core harmony of our beings. And I fundamentally believe that, you know, having pioneered this over the last 35, 40 years, that when we find our note, that all of our organic fiber, all of our organs come into coherence, come into synchrony or symphony with that note. And as a result of that, we become very, very healthy, a passionate, well-being, ascendant, transcendent beings, and therefore we really live out the prophecy of the fact that we're spiritual beings having a human journey.
Right. Really, literally vibrant, one could say,
yeah.
through vibrancy,
yeah.
through vibration.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I was thinking also when we were talking about that vocal wounding, that it's my sense, and I was curious about your sense, that when we find that tone, or when we find, when we allow our voice to be in our body and really resonate fully, that we are actually protected, that we cannot be easily wounded, it's somehow my sense that the people that I work with, that once they have that full, relaxed, luscious, beautiful, rich tone, criticism bounces off of them like, you know, water off of a duck's back. You know, it can't penetrate the same because they know their source. They know they know their true calling. They're connected with their purpose. What's your experience with that?
I hear you. And I feel you're onto something really extraordinary, because, you know, the way that I perceive it is that once we find our note, once we find harmony within our bodies, we find our power, we find our sovereignty. And when we feel our sovereignty, then, of course, we surrender it into the I Am presence. We step into the divine coda of the I Am. So it's an amazing feat of discovering who we are, identifying mm-hmm. who we are in our sensory and sensual frame of reference of who am I, finding harmony, and then automatically yielding it to the divine in the I Am. Which is why you probably have heard, I have lots and lots of recordings of using the I Am. I am the spirit of life. I am the holy breath. I am, I am, I am.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
when we find this, of course, there's no going back. Even though we can evoke displeasure in the world, we can evoke criticism, we can evoke the naysayers, but we don't lose our power. We don't give our power away. In fact, somebody this morning, a client came to see me and was asking me the self-same question. And I said, well, when you receive the criticism, it's only a perception. It doesn't have to be true. So why
right.
don't you detach, feel stillness, and observe? Detach, feel stillness, and observe, and then recognize it's only a perception. The question is it useful to you? And if it's useful, please own it. If it's not useful, let it go immediately. And realize you're just being manipulated by someone else.
Well, also the voice has this amazing capacity to integrate, I think, to integrate so many layers of so many dimensions from, you know, past, present, future, so many stories, emotions. And when you speak of I Am, and when I'm listening, I think that that is one of the greatest gifts that we're running away often from, that we only want the I Am, you know, I am successful, I am wealthy, instead of really owning all the I Ams. I am, you know, sad and happy at the same time, right? I am that vast, that expansive, that I can be grieving and blissful in the same moment. Does that make sense? And that's where the voice gets such a power, because you said a beautiful word, the sovereignty. You know, just to, I think that's an incredibly beautiful word when we're talking about the kind of voice work that you do. This feeling of you know, completeness, of wholeness, of well-being. And that actually, when we connect that with our communities or with the planet, with the earth, it just is a very expansive state of well-being that again comes back to a small still point, which is you know, where silence and where sound, right?
This is interesting, isn't it? You know, the silence is the divine feminine, out of which arises the divine masculine, which is the sound. In the beginning was the sound, and the sound was made flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. You know, that's an interesting thought, because I remember many, many years ago when I started researching my first book, The Alchemy of Voice, I was introduced to a wonderful man who taught at the Sorbonne. So this is going back into the early 80s. And and I met this gentleman called Professor Zecherle, who was one of the world's leading Aramaic scholars. So he was able to read or translate the language of Jesus. And I met him at the Sorbonne. A week later, he was dead. I think it was almost, sounds slightly grandiose, but it was almost as though he was waiting to reveal to me the substance of that the ancients believed that sound was at the core of creation. And that's what that statement, not in the beginning was the word, but in the beginning was the sound, because the word was the logos, meaning the intelligibility of the sound. So I hear you when you say, you know, once we find the harmony, we are automatically brought into coherence. We're brought into a cohesion where all of the elements that have often been disparate and distressed or diseased, or disharmonic, they come back into synchrony, they come back into harmony. And so therefore, the lower vibration of woe or grief or despair suddenly transforms into the higher vibration of joy, of hope, and of freedom.
Right. Or if you think of a symphony orchestra, you can have the timpani drums with the low, you know, the low tone, and then the piccolos all at the same time, making the most beautiful music for our world.
Yes. Yes. I mean, I feel that, you know, that of course, I'm not a musician. I'm a spoken voice coach. And so the way that we approach the physiology of sound within the body, I feel is slightly different from, just slightly different from the organization of Western classical music, particularly in terms of the variation of pitch or indeed the variation of orchestration within a 50 or 60 piece orchestra. You know, I suppose one of the confusing things about finding ways of developing and evolving within the richness of our lives today is the fact that so much of us is disparate, so much of it is divisive in the sense that there's so much else going on. And one of the things that I try to do is to bring everybody into the simplicity of feeling pure love. Love for themselves, love for nature, love for the world, love for their dear ones, and then love for those, eventually, those who have created challenge, whom they may hate or feel aggrieved of or feel betrayed by, so that unconditional love opens. And when I find that people are able to do this, then they move absolutely into the incandescence of what it is to have a great voice, what it is to be able to vibrate through you know, the physical nature of sound all the way through their beings. You know, I'm reminded of, in this moment, I'm reminded of that extraordinary poem by Walt Whitman, which was written, you know, at a time before the noise, before the machines. And so I believe that those people before machines, they appreciated sound in a very, very different way. And obviously I'm not going to bore you by reading the whole of the poem, but there are one or two lines that are really extraordinary. When he says, "Oh, what is it in me that makes me tremble so at voices? Surely whoever speaks to me in the right voice, him or her I shall follow as the water follows the moon silently with fluid steps anywhere around the globe."
And that's beautiful, Stuart.
Sorry.
Yeah. Hold on to that thought. We need to take a very, 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 very short station break. And we're going to go out of this into, we're going to go out with Walt Whitman and come back with exactly that angelic voicing.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Conflict comes in many forms and often triggers a fight-or-flight response. Some of us gravitate toward conflict, while many will stop at little to nothing to avoid it. Unfortunately, what we resist will persist, which often forces us to face our fear and deal with it head-on. Join me during my show, Conflict Rising, as I discuss the important role of conflict with leaders who have moved through it successfully. Tune in Thursdays at 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Remember, it's always darkest before the dawn.
With happy clients all over the world, Kara Johnstad knows that your voice is the missing link to more authenticity, abundance, creativity, and health. An internationally acclaimed voice expert, Kara's breakthrough methods have helped thousands of people successfully heal their voice wounds and extinguish the story of self-doubt and shyness forever. Join in group trainings, attend online sessions, schedule one-on-one time, and invite Kara to work with your organization and community. Get started today. Go to www.karajohnstad.com and receive a special guided meditation designed to fine-tune your inner voice and welcome you on the voice journey.
Why was the basketball court all wet? Because the players kept dribbling on it.
The dad joke. Corny, groan-worthy, but also one of the simplest ways to share a moment with your kids.
What did the buffalo say when he dropped his son off for school? Bye, son.
So take a moment to make your kid laugh, because dad jokes rule. Make your kid laugh today. Go to fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Voice Rising. I am Kara Johnstead, and with me in studio today is the legendary master of voice, voice alchemist, and angelic emissary, Stuart Pierce. Stuart, right before the break, you shared with us a beautiful quote by Walt Whitman, and we were talking about unconditional love.
Yes.
I was thinking about Whitman's "I Sing the Body Electric." Actually, that was the line that was moving through me when I was listening to your words.
Beautiful.
Share with me. I'm sorry, I was a little bit taken by your beautiful quote. Share with me. We were right there with unconditional love, that when we are able to really be present and really be in love, this is what I understood you saying. This is what I heard you saying, is that the more we can open ourselves to be a vessel for unconditional love, the more the voice relaxes into its tone, into its place, connects the heart with our wisdom, you know, comes into our body, and our voice by itself starts really coming into its fullness.
Yes, because, you know, when we think about it, the one thing that we humans, whatever part of the world we live in or on, that we're all yearning for belonging to nature, belonging to our dear ones, belonging to a significant other, belonging to a culture or social group, belonging to an idea, belonging to a thesis, belonging to a passion, belonging to the divine. And it feels to me that as we belong, we surrender and yield to the higher power, the higher intelligence of the pure, of the vessel of the divine, because it is full of inclusivity, full of empathy, full of compassion, and full of unconditional love. So we find unity consciousness. And I feel that that's what Walt is really talking about, you know, when he says, what is it in me that makes me tremble, so it voices. Evidently, the voices mm-hmm. that he was hearing were voices that were what we used to call, slightly old-fashioned today, but what we used to call sonorous voices, because mm-hmm. they used sound to determine who they were. I think it was Benjamin Disraeli, the Prime Minister of England, one of the prime ministers for Victoria, Queen Victoria, who said that the voice is the index of the character of a man. And so they waited or practiced their voices. I know Shakespeare refers to this as well, that they were listening mm-hmm. for the right voice. They were listening for the voice of harmony, the voice that has gravitas, the voice that is embodied, and therefore you can trust it. What the Romans called persona, to find persona, which is a word that means through sound, per, through, sona, sound, that once mm-hmm. we find persona, we find our note, and therefore we find the slipstream of our creative process. And of course, the first thing we want to do is to unify, connect, or indeed yield or surrender into a divine power. So that
exactly.
This is something I feel that we've completely misconstrued purely as a result of industrialization and cerebralization, that we become ivory towered in our heads, which is why today, you know, I mean, I'm in London at the moment, and here, I mean, the sound of London is all going, you know, it's all up here like that, you know, when I, and then we go back to when I was steeped in the experience of working in the reconstruction of Shakespeare's Globe Theatre. And the Lord Mayor of London in 1597 said that all speech was decorated silence. Isn't that beautiful?
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Because
yes,
they didn't have machines. And it's impossible for us to somehow conceive of that, because we've lived with machines. The vibration of machines is living within us right now, even though we may be in the country or in silence or in untrammeled situations. So when we really feel silence, then we feel harmony.
Exactly. And I was just thinking that many of the leaders, they used to take time to train their voices or make that an important part of their persona. But more and more people, whether it's television news anchors or, you know, or leading politicians, don't care anymore about the quality of their voice. So I think that's another thing. It's not only the machines, but the people themselves. We have this incredible instrument that we've been given, and it needs also to be listened to. But tell me more about what you're doing a lot of angelic sound healing, and I would love to know more about what is angelic sound healing.
Well, 32 years ago, I think, mm-hmm. I was working in an extraordinary little town in Somersetshire, you know, one of the county shires of the United Kingdom, in the West Country, we call it, which is called Glastonbury. And Glastonbury has a high hill that is known as the Tor, which T-O-R, which is a Celtic word for high hill, sacred high hill, known by many as the heart chakra of the world. The energies there are absolutely extraordinary. Anyway, I was called down to a friend who had just opened a store in the town selling crystals, and it for a particular event that he called the harmonic conversion. And I didn't know what that was all about. However, it sounded like a wonderful opportunity to go down and work in the store. And by that time, the consciousness that I had as a child, which I'd switched off from, meaning the ability to see aura, the ability to see spirit, the ability to see angels, had woken up. Anyway, that's another story about a huge, you know, hugely unique initiation that took place through the death of my mother. And suddenly my third eye opened again. So for 7 years I practiced it, I muscularized it. You know, I went to work with psychics, with mediums, and began to understand what it was all about and how I could use the energy. So there I was in Glastonbury on August 15, 16, 1987 for the harmonic convergence, and felt very tired working with a number of the people that came to me for psychic readings. So I went and sat to meditate on the tour, because by then I'd been to India and all my teachers said, you need to meditate, meditate. So there I was meditating to regain energy, to regain connection with the divine. And I heard extraordinary sounds. I heard these immensely high frequency pulsations of sound, rather like overtones that we hear today. And I opened my eyes and there were 12 orbs of light in front of me. And one of these orbs of light said, we are the angels of Atlantis, and we're going to give you a temple of sound healing that you will call the Alchemy of Voice. And so in short, angels and sound, as we know, have always had a really, really close rapport. It's rare that you look into a stained glass window in any medieval cathedral without seeing an angel with a trumpet in its lips or with a harp or with its mouth open in song. We talk about the Hallelujah Chorus. And all sorts of reasons why the divine asked the angels to be sound propagators or sound users, sound communicators. And they can't. Angels have come forth. They're very ancient, this collective. They're known in Kabbalah as the Malachim. They've come to produce a powerful communion of energy to allow us to feel how sound will bring us back into harmony if we allow it. And so the Temple of Sound Healing, the Alchemy of Voice, is about looking into how we can really find our note. And when people are called to the work, the first thing that they experience is that they've been living their lives out of their note, meaning they've been living their lives in disharmony as a result of physical and emotional trauma. And so the work is very much about bringing people back into identifying what was the trauma, because the firm belief is that when we can name something, we have power over it. And until we can name it, until we can find the sonic glyph that addresses the feeling or the thinking that we are lost in a sea of indecision. But as soon as we can find it and we identify it as grief, or we identify it as being, I feel suicidal, or we identify it as being, I'm depressed, or whatever we identify it as being, we automatically know where the alchemy of that role is, because, of course, we live in a dualistic planet, that nothing is singular, everything is plural. So where there is doubt, there is hope. Where there is grief, there is always joy. Where there is depression, there is expression. Where there is hatred, there is love. And so the alchemy voice is about moving people into becoming the master mistresses of their own destiny, in recognizing how a state can be identified and then move from disharmony into harmony. In simplicity, that's what the angels gave me. And so I've been teaching that, really, or working that, providing people all over the world with experiences of the angels. And of course, in the collation of the work, in the communion of the work, we spend much time chanting, chanting through vowel sound, toning, chanting through a sacred mantra, so that we can actually feel, using the Om, oh gosh, and the incandescent light that pours into our beings when we're chanting the Om. You know, one of the things that I find fascinating about the chant is that you can't think when you're chanting. You're finding a point of coherence between left and right brain. And so we move into these ecstatic states.
Exactly. I always say a tone at one. Right? I mean, we see it in the word, even a tone. When we are in a chant, if we're in Om, we are absolutely present in the moment. We are at one. It is such a gift that we've been given.
Isn't it extraordinary? Yeah.
And I wanted to share with you, I just wanted to share one thing. I'm not sure, I'm sure you know this, but I thought it was fascinating when you were speaking about Tor. Because I'm sitting in Berlin, and Tor is also the word for gate. So, you know, the heart chakra, but you were literally at the gate, at the heart gate when you were in Glastonbury having your moment with the angels. Because T-O-R in Celtic, I believe you said it's a high hill.
Yes, yes.
But in the Germanic language, it means the gate. The door,
the
opening.
I love it.
The gate,
I love it. I love
the door,
it.
The opening. Exactly.
Yeah.
And
I'm sure, you know, that the when we look at these epicenters that we have, I mean, you know, for example, Egypt has celebrated me, troubled me, called me, yearned me over the years. And so I take retreats to Egypt twice a year and have done for the last 15 years. And that there I begin to see where how the epicenters can be opened through sound and therefore become portals. So I'm sure if we go back into the heritage of the Celtic peoples, that these unique fissures, you know, these opening points between heaven and earth that we find in the Gaia, like the Tor, are known as portals, these extraordinary apertures between the veils of consciousness that lead into a higher vibration. And sound can be used, because sound is at the core of creation, as a key to open up the portal.
Where do you think human sound comes from, or where do you think sound comes from? Or is that a mystery question?
I mean, it's a really fascinating question, because there are two ways of answering it. Where human sound comes from is obviously from the disturbance of air acoustically, and that takes place in the vocal cords. But I think the question that you're asking is a much deeper and more consequential question of the original sound. And again, I feel that, you know, we talk about the Big Bang, not the Big Silence, I think it's 13.7 billion
years. Right.
It's interesting, isn't it, that somehow there was a collision of matter that created the disturbance that we call sound. At the same time, I believe firmly that the original peoples on our planet used one language, one sound language, a unity a unity vocabulary, which was pure vowel sound.
Mm-hmm.
And that when we go into the great wisdom books, for example, in the Bible, we hear of the Tower of Babel, when the ego mm-hmm. of man, woman, became so strident that it developed a divisive relationship or anti-relationship with the unity consciousness of the divine. And so we moved away from it. And it's interesting that in our languages around the planet, we have this dualistic force, isn't it? That we have vowels and consonants, and that vowel sounds are these very openly, freely emitted passages of sound, whereas consonants are stop sounds. And it's interesting that, you know, that originally we would have toned creation into happening. And that's what I find really fascinating, which is why we are going back to the sustained tonalities, whether it be in the song or in the chant or in the toning sequence, or indeed moving into the instruments that we're hearing more and more and more being used in sound healership, the crystal bowls and the gongs, because they produce this amazing sustainable tonality that allows us to feel the durability of what it is to move into the harmonies and our bodies,
and that really can
point of rest.
Yeah, and can really penetrate into our cells and into our bones, into our body.
Yeah.
Right? If they don't have the t and the d. Stuart, we're going to take a very short break and we're going to be back in a moment.
Conscious lifestyle to your world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
I'm Kathy Williams, host of Sexy Mom Abundant Life radio show on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. On the show, we explore living abundantly in every area of your life, ways to let go of limiting patterns and beliefs, and to step into the flow of creativity and possibility, knowing you are supported by the universe.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. I'm Cara Johnstead, and with me in studio today is the legendary master of voice, voice alchemist and angelic emissary, Stuart Pierce. We were just talking about angelic sound healing, and I'd also like to talk to you today, Stuart, about the voice of change. I believe you are working on a new book. Is it called The Voice of Change?
Yeah, it's actually called Diana, The Voice of Change. It's a book about the last 2 years of Diana's life, Princess of Wales, and my coaching with her when we became very close. And of course, we didn't know it was the last 2 years of her life, but then suddenly 97 came along and she lost her life. She's been brewing within me. We've had a very, very close connection over the last 22 years. And then last year, maybe at the end of the year before, 2017, I started feeling that she was asking me to share the unique points of transition that she moved through with me, the empowerment tools that we used, the meditations, the rite of consecration that we went through. And so I've written this book, which is coming out next year, called Diana, the Voice of Change. And so as a precursor to the book coming out, I was asked by a number of leading people around the world if I would produce a seminar and deliver this either within the political arena or within the corporate arena, and now increasingly in the healing zones and the mind-body-spirit industry. The voice of change is the voice of love. So, yeah, it's a wonderful, wonderful exercise into allowing us to recognize that we just need to really move away from the cerebralization, because this is the sound of the industrial being, and evidently we're in a little bit of a problem with that industrial being, because when we look into the world, we see there's a great deal of cacophony and a great deal of confusion about
how is it. Yeah, how is it for you? You're working with the political leaders, you're working in the corporate world also, many of your clients are there. It's a world where many people would be surprised that they would feel comfortable with, angels and the spiritual touch of your work. How is your work with, inside the business landscapes? I'm actually thrilled that you're there, bringing that wisdom to our businesses so how is it for you to be working with corporations and also for the people to receive these gifts?
Well, thank you. It's an interesting question, and as I reflect on the answer, it's been an interesting journey, because my life has always been a question of contrast. Meaning, as I was sharing earlier, as a young child, seeing the multidimensional universe, thinking that everybody saw what I saw in my innocence, and discovered that they didn't see what I was seeing. So there was one contrast. Mm-hmm. And over the years, often friends say to me, "Oh God, you're such a raging mystic." But I didn't talk about the mystical side of me. I kept it quiet. And we were able to live different lives. We live public lives and we live private lives. So you don't walk into the White House saying, "By the way, I see angels," because they just can't accept it. But over the years, the temperatures have shifted. I guess I've become braver. And when I faced a situation on a professional but also personal level where I had to make a choice between, shall I continue doing something that I've done for many, many, many years in established theater and compromise my truth? Or shall I resign from this and live the fullness of my truth? And so that's something that I've done since 2010. I resigned all of my establishment positions and became completely freelance to discover a world of such amazing abundance. And, huge amounts of developmental evolutionary process within myself on each level of being, physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. And, of course, to get to the crunch of the question, what's interesting is that the people in the public sector who want to work with me are the people that I work with, and they're all very, very considerable thinkers that are not fazed by the metaphysical, and recognize that from a social point of view, one can be appropriate about it. For me, professional communication is based on the response you get. When in Rome, do as the Romans. I don't go in saying, "By the way, I'm going to use my oracle today." Because if that, to use the common parlance, freaks people out, then that's not what I'm about. I'm about creating, ameliorating behaviors that bring people into harmony. So, what's interesting is as soon as people start trusting one and seeing that the work has import and is importantly significant, then they start revealing their innermost beings. And then, of course, one can start dropping in that extra special counseling that one has, which are always to do with the gifts of spirit. And people say, "Oh, wow, how did you know that?" And so, there's a way of being able to do it.
I mean, if you talk about the voice of change, I'm sorry, I think you dropped out here for a second. Okay. Now, if you talk about the voice of change and the voice of love, I mean, what a wonderful vision to say that all of our time that we spend in the workplace will be also a place where we can experience harmony and love as we project our biggest dreams out into the world. I mean, I personally believe that every project is like we're small stars that are gathered together, just like there's constellations in the sky. We are different, you know, human beings with brilliant minds coming together and projecting a dream or a vision into the world. And I think it's just fabulous when everybody realizes that in the middle of it all is the one voice, but also the community voice.
Yeah. Absolutely. And of course, as we know, we're seeing chaos in the world. And therefore, when we go to the office, as it were, there is chaos in the office. And there are so many awakening leaders who are sensitized to wanting to harmonize their personnel, their staff, and so automatically move into seeking what the corporate world calls soft skills. And it could be to do with pure relaxation. It could be to do with moving someone away from the trajectory of a major cardiac arrest, or, you know, I'm working with a 28-year-old extraordinary intellect who is a high flyer within the corporate, within the money markets, but it is also en route to producing a duodenal ulcer. So what we're doing is working on the healing of that energy that has driven him into being not just simply excellent at what he does, but also highly, highly, highly stressed. And there begins a huge, you know, as you well know, there begins a huge story in terms of biology, his biography. I find, you know, but at the same time, there are lots of people, because I came out of the closet, you know, and so there are lots of, you can see me very amply online in cyberspace. Here is the Angel Man, and here is also StuartPierce.com, you know, the Voice of Change site, which is very corporate. And many people that once came to me are no longer coming. What I know is that there is no loss anywhere. There is always gain. And so the universe provides me with those people that I'm supposed to be working with. And that's exciting.
That's very exciting. I mean, you're really transforming lives and transforming the world through the power of voice. Do you also have a spiritual practice that you do every day, or do you sense every day what you might need? You have so much experience now with your voice, and then you create your own program?
Oh, gosh. Meditation twice a day, sometimes three times a day, passive and active meditation. And one of those meditations is always chant. Chant myself into oblivion.
The enchanted life. The enchanted life of Stuart Pierce. Exactly. Do you think we can heal the world if we change the narrative?
Sure. I feel that we don't just hear the world, we hear the other world, the otherworldliness. We hear the concourse of divine sound. We become listening posts in an ocean of sound. Yeah, absolutely. Because I spend a tremendous amount of time in nature, you know, so I'm very busy in the world. But then I literally manage my time so that I can then go on pilgrimage or go on retreat, and I go into nature and just sit in stillness. If I didn't actually shut up, because I talk a lot, that if I didn't shut up at least once a month and go away for 3 days by myself, I don't feel that I would be the person that I am. So I have a very profound practice within the devotion, discipline, and dedication of my work. Yeah.
And I was just thinking, well, you were talking about Diana and the voice of change, and I was, while you were saying that, I was just listening and thinking how amazing it is that we never, ever lose our voice. We lose the physical body, But when we're talking about Walt Whitman, when we're talking about Shakespeare, when we're talking about Princess Diana, when we're talking about really spending time in places where we're listening to Maria Callas, where we're listening to, it doesn't matter, Elvis Presley, there are so many voices that are still inside of us that we're carrying that have actually gone over to the other side. It's a fascinating thought. Mm. People feel uncomfortable sometimes embracing the angelic realms, and yet if you watch them, what they're listening to in their cars, it's often voices from the other side.
Yeah, indeed. Right? That's a beautiful way of putting it. I love it. It's a reception of the glory of what recorded sound has given us. What a gift. What a gift. And you know, there's an esoteric belief in Kabbalah that when a new soul incarnates, and that first roar of life, you know, when we come mm-hmm. shooting out of our mother's birth canals, and we take that big breath, and then that sound mm-hmm. goes on throughout the cosmos forever. So we have within the cosmos all of those incarnations. Maybe that's way of going into regression. You know, when we want to discover something about a past life that is mitigating circumstance in our current life, maybe that's the way through sound.
Well, I believe so, and I also think that this is why the universe is expanding, contrary to what the physicists say. I believe that the sound stays. The sound of Maria Callas stays. The sound of Goethe stays. The sound of Whitman stays. The sound of the great hearts and the great thinkers, they all stay. And that's why we just keep on going into this amazing expansiveness. If there's one thing, Stuart, that you'd like the world to know about voice, if there's one thing you'd like to share with people about that, you know, whether it's a signature tone, but what is the essence of why this should be the most important work in the world to discover?
I feel it's to do with when we really listen to someone's voice, when we really listen, we cease the monodimensional, egoic, or narcissistic competition with them. We really hear what they're saying, and therefore that when we reply, we open up an inclusivity through harmonic balance that is rare. And that if we mm-hmm. can just listen, and then relaxation takes place in our bodies. And of course, we all know that when we're relaxed, we drop into the earthedness of our beings. The only way we can give the best of ourselves is if we are relaxed. And so automatically we begin to open up and establish rapport in a completely unique way that hitherto we had not been able to establish.
Right. And if you mix up all those letters from listen, you come back to your silent.
Yeah.
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 So the essence is basically to stay in that relaxed, receptive place. And I think, this is what we can all learn from each other, is that the voice also is not only the audible. It has a lot to do with the ears. Being in the here and now has to do with the hearing. And that when we can really absorb also the frequencies of the other people and allow their truth also to be heard, that they start relaxing and that we come back to that place of well-being.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, a very fascinating conversation that I feel myself to be engaged in at the moment is the rearrangement of thinking and the practicalization of political, economic measures in the great United States of America, because the country is in chaos. And mm-hmm. one of the measures that we were talking about, you know, particularly through the vessel of Marianne Williamson, whom I'm mm-hmm. helping at the moment, she runs for Democratic nomination, is the whole substance of the way that the beauty of the Constitution arose out of those men and women coming together twice a day and sitting in silence for an hour. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. in that place of divine fermentation, the sounds that became the words emerged out of that space.
Beautiful. Stuart Pierce, thank you so much for being with me today at Voice Rising. It's really a great pleasure. I'd love to have you back on the show. You have so much
thank
to
you.
Give I've to the
so
world.
Fun. It was lovely meeting you.
Bless.